If you think back a couple of weeks, we looked at the privilege to know salvation. To be saved now and fully saved for the eternity to come is something that the prophets of old, the Old Testament prophets, they were getting little glimpses of, but never the full picture. They weren't able to fully comprehend what was coming. But we have the privilege to see it because we know Christ. We know that Christ came. And we know that when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, that we are saved now. Now, we're not saved from hardships or trials. We looked at that a little while ago. But we are saved from being slaves to sin. We are given direct access to God. We're no longer separated by a great chasm. And we can pray directly to the Lord. We are given freedom. Freedom in Christ. And we have an incredible inheritance awaiting for us. And that's something, those are things that we can rejoice in. And that's exactly why Peter's writing this. Again, he's writing to a persecuted group, a persecuted church. That some of them are dying, and Peter's writing them, hey, you know, you can concentrate on the persecution, or you can rejoice and think of the things that God has done and He is continuing to do. So he's kind of changing where their thoughts are, and that's what we're looking at today is looking at a lot on our thoughts, looking at living in this world with a mindset of kingdom living. We are becoming more kingdom-minded. And I want to remind you that we are aliens. This is not our home. We are living in a foreign land and awaiting to go home and be with Christ in the kingdom of heaven. So though we may be living in this world, we are not of this world. That is what it means to be kingdom-minded, and therefore we must be intentional with our thoughts and purpose and the works that we do. All those things need to revolve around kingdom living. With kingdom living in mind, Peter continues to speak to the people and calls them to be very intentional with how they're living here and now, living as if they are in the kingdom of God. You know, it's kind of, we're there, but we're not fully there yet. Jesus came, He brought the kingdom here, so we are partially living in the kingdom, but not fully until we go and be with the Lord. Hopefully that makes sense. But if you want to open your Bibles, we will start out with our first passage today in 1 Peter. I'm going through the book of 1 Peter, and we are going to start with verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Prepare your minds for action. There's one thing. Be self-controlled. There's a second thing. And set your hope fully on grace. There's three things. Three items that point us to active kingdom living. So let's look at the first. Prepare your minds for action. Everything we do and how we respond to things all begin in the mind. The literal wording in the Greek is something like girding up the loins of your mind. Now, does that really mean anything to us now? Well, this was a common phrase in the New Testament time. To gird up was something that was understood. So what does it mean to gird up? You have to think about how they dressed in that time. They'd have like long robes or long garments. And to gird up the garments would be to pull them up, maybe to wrap them into the waistline. But the whole thought is to be able to raise those garments in order to move quickly, to not have the hindrance of those clothing to trip on or to step on. Essentially, girding up is preparing to move, preparing to go. But a huge difference here is that Peter is saying to prepare or to gird up the mind. To prepare your mind. You see, I know what it is to prepare to go running or to prepare to go on vacation or to prepare the kids to go to bed. See, those are actual things that we do. Some I look forward to. But getting dressed is getting ready. Or getting packed is getting ready to go on vacation or washing the kids' face and getting their teeth brushed. That's getting them ready for bed. It's action. But how do you prepare your mind? Because you don't really see an action. So to gird up one's mind is to get ready to move. Being kingdom-minded is getting ready to move. It's taking what we have and getting it ready. Our thoughts and the things that we dwell on control our actions and movements. We know that faith in Jesus Christ results in salvation. Scripture tells us this. We also know that because of Jesus Christ and His salvation, that we have become new creatures. That is, to be born again. But at the same time, there is the flesh that we must contend with. Almost the new mind fighting against the old habits, old memories, and desires. Psalm 19:14, I'd like to read that. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The meditation of my heart, not just my actions and what I say, but what I think about, what I dwell on, need to be pleasing to the Lord. I'm preparing my mind to be pleasing to the Lord. Some may say, I can't help what I think about. And there is a part that's true to that. Sometimes unwanted thoughts come in. Now, do any of you struggle with that? Or is it just me? Okay. But what do we do when those unthoughted thoughts come in? Okay, so this is where we take the preparation. What am I prepared to do when I have an unwanted thought? Do I hold on to it? Do I feed it? Do I dwell on it? I don't want it there, but, well, once it's there, do I keep it? If I watch a bad movie, that's going to impact my thoughts. If I hang around people who are not good influences, that will impact my thoughts. If I allow Satan to feed me messages like, I'm not good enough, or I'm unlovable, or I'm better off dead than alive, if I allow Satan to feed me those messages, that will significantly impact my thoughts. How am I prepared in my mind for when those things come? See, one of the biggest ways to prepare my thoughts is to flood my mind with the things that are of Christ and His kingdom. First, I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, and with all my mind. Sometimes I need to remind myself of this often. Just saying that again. I love the Lord. You know, I may be a pastor, but like the rest of you, my mind can wander. And if I don't stay in a state of preparation, if my mind is not prepared, then those things that I don't want are going to come in. I want to do and live in God's will for me. I want His will done in my life, and I want to live a life pleasing to Him. You see, I realize I'm not perfect, but at the same time, I will not let that be an excuse to stop trying. Psalm 119, 10 through 11 says, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know, this is a good verse for why we should memorize Scripture. But at the same time, when we're talking about preparation, is taking what we have and making it ready to use. So maybe there are things that you've already memorized. It's time to shake the dust off. It's time to remind ourselves of the Scripture that we've hidden in our hearts. You see, we fill our minds with God's Word. We live out His Word here and now as we prepare for the coming eternity. To study, to learn, and apply God's Word in everyday life. See, kingdom living isn't something in the distant future. Kingdom living is for right now as we follow Christ. It is preparing the mind that we have now. Another point for girding up the loins of the mind is removing what may become a stumbling block or things that may hinder us from moving forward. Like a person lifting their garments so their legs can move freely. And that brings me to the second part of this first verse that we had, being self-controlled. If we look at the literal meaning of being self-controlled, it is actually being sober-minded. I think I'll go back to... So the literal meaning of being self-controlled, what's translated self-controlled, is to be sober-minded. If we are not sober-minded, then we would be impaired, right? We have first prepared our mind by fixing it on God and His Word. And the preparation is vitally important because if you're not preparing your mind for action, then the action will not take place. What type of action is needed? We see in 2 Corinthians 10:5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. With Christ, we can take control of what we dwell on. So I know I'm going to be talking about the same topic I just talked about. The preparation is getting our minds ready to take action. Self-controlled, that's where we move to action. If we are prepared, then we have the ability to move to action, and that is to take our thoughts and control them. I'm not going to say that's easy, but my thought life has had many struggles in it. But as we already know, God has made it clear our thoughts are important to Him. What do we do? What do we allow in? What do we dwell on? Are those things moving us towards Christ, or are they hindering us from moving closer? And if we are told to take every thought captive, I want you to know this. This is kind of important. If we're told to take our thoughts captive, then one, Jesus and His Holy Spirit are giving us the ability to do it. He gives us the ability to control what our minds dwell on. It's kind of funny. If I was sitting in your spot and I heard someone say that, what's the first thought that would come to mind? I can't do that. You see that thought right there? I can't do that. I can't take my thoughts captive. That's a lie. So we have the power to identify a thought as a lie. And then we are given... And then the second thing that we do after we identify a thought as a lie, is to not give it power, because a lie doesn't have power unless we give it. So Jesus here Jesus has given us that ability to control it. And I don't know what works for you when you have an unwanted thought, but a lot of times I will say, Lord, you know what I'm thinking on. You know this unwanted thought is here. It didn't come from you, but you need to take it because I can't keep it. And you may have to do that a lot of times. If our thoughts matter to the Lord and we have unwanted thoughts come, what are we going to do with it? To just deny it's there is not going to help. It's not going to go away. Acknowledge it's there and say, Lord, here. I can't hold on to it. Some of you may think that you're helpless in this area. Some may even say, why try? The harder I try to get rid of these unwanted thoughts, the worse they flood. Now, sometimes you just have to keep taking it back to the Lord. Keep handing it over. And any lie that any thought that comes in and says you're dumb or stupid for even trying to take your thoughts captive, that is a lie as well. Don't give it power. Give it to the Lord. You see, I want my mind clear because what the Lord wants from me is a clear mind, a sober mind, and a willing heart. Sin in our lives begins in the mind. Jesus made this clear when he spoke of adultery in Matthew 5:27. You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. See, sin doesn't just happen. It starts with uncontrolled and unprepared minds that follow every fleeting whim and desire. If we are kingdom-minded, then our thoughts need to be unimpaired and controlled. With the removal of such sinful thoughts, there is going to be a void, a vacancy that needs to be filled. If this is not filled with something, then our efforts are in vain as they will return. Therefore, we must fill in those vacancies or voids with something good. Well, what is good? Philippians 4:8 tells us a little something. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That last phrase, think about such things, it's not just a thought that comes and goes. This is dwelling. So we are dwelling on the things that are good from the Lord. These are the things to put in the vacancy. And this leads me to our third point that I wanted to share. We have prepared our minds, we have controlled the unimpaired minds, and now we set our hope fully on the grace of Jesus. Remember, grace is what is given to us that is not deserved. Christ is gracious in giving us freedom and salvation that is completely undeserved. When Christ returns, we will see fully and completely His kingdom and what His grace has given us. We are to fill our minds with the Lord's grace. So we've removed some of that sin. Our thoughts, we're now dwelling on the good things of the Lord, and one of those great things is the Lord's grace. The fact that He has given us so much, even though it is completely undeserved. Being kingdom-minded leads us to the next couple verses in chapter 1 of 1 Peter. So I'd like to read that on in verses 14 through 16. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Well, there's a lot in those couple of verses. Verse 14, as obedient children. See, as a follower of Christ who is kingdom-minded, remember, your minds are prepared for action and self-controlled, and they're focused on the grace of Jesus Christ. You are a child of God. Obedience to the Lord is not just something that might be a good idea, might be a good option. Okay? Obedience is expected. It's an expectation as a child of God. Your mind is set on the Lord and obedient to His Word. It's kind of funny when I say it's expected. It's expected because if we're kingdom-minded, it's what we want to do. We want to be obedient to what the Lord has for us. We want to be obedient to His will. Not because there's a hard hand there. It's because we know He's given us His everything, and we want to give Him ours. But you are a child of God. And as a child, you want to be obedient. You don't want to conform to the evil desires that you had when you lived in ignorance. It's actually when you lived prior to knowing and following Christ. Ignorance is kind of a nice way of saying, before Christ, you didn't know better. You didn't know right from wrong, or even if you did know right from wrong in a cultural perspective, you didn't know the eternal consequences of the wrong being done. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. See, this Romans passage in our verse in 1 Peter 1 talk about not conforming any longer to the world or to the evil desires that we may have participated in before Christ. What does conform mean? It means to follow a set standard. We are told not to follow the standards of the world, but to follow God's standard. Some might wonder, what is the world's standard? Or what are the desires of the flesh? Well, I have a few listed in Galatians. The Apostle Paul decided he would give us a little bit of a list to look at. So Galatians 5:19 through 21. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. See, Paul kind of concludes that list at the end, or kind of, well, the end of the list in verse 21, and the like. Meaning, there's other things. This isn't a comprehensive list. There are many more. But this is what the world sees as a standard. Maybe I've been in church far too long, and we think, well, we're kind of far from a lot of these things. Have any of you watched a reality television show? Now, I've not watched these, but some of you might know the titles. The Bachelor or Bachelorette, I think that's a show. Keeping Up with the Kardashians, I think that's a show. Reality television, right? Boy, there was a few others I was thinking of, and now they just escaped me. If you look at that list, And some of the things that we would be exposed to if we watch some of those reality television shows, how much of that is in those? All of it. And if that is what is being labeled real, oh, Real Housewives, that was another one. If that is what's classified as real, then this is what the world's standard looks like, which is the opposite of what God's standard is. It's a harsh reality when Paul is telling the people in the church of Galatia, I warn you, as I did before. So this is the second, at least the second time, if not more, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So we're wanting to be kingdom-minded. Then these are the things that we are preparing our mind against. These are the things that we are controlling our thoughts against and taking captive. And we are dwelling on the things that are not like this, but at the things of God. And we're told that God is holy. We're called to be different because we are called to be holy as God is holy. To be holy is to be set apart, to be undefiled by sin, to be living within God's standard and in a right relationship with the Father. God's holiness is perfection. It's completely free from any sin. Can we get there? Well, we're going to get there. Can we get there now? Well, not in our time here. But it is what we are striving for. It's what we are leaning towards. It's what we are fixing our eyes on. It's what we're kind of reaching for. While we may not be perfect, we have the ability to step out and choose to separate ourselves from sin. This doesn't just happen out of thin air. We as new creations still have old habits, old desires. And if we're not prepared for action, if we do not exercise self-control and stay focused on Christ, we will, and I'm going to repeat, we will stray and follow after those things if we're not intentional. We therefore strive to be holy as God is holy. We strive to follow the example of Christ, to be obedient to His Word. And if we are truly living in the grace of Jesus, we will set our minds on Him and His will. That is kingdom living here and now while we wait for the fullness of the kingdom to come.